Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shameless Podcast. This is the first episode of the Shameless Activism series, where we discuss current issues in our world and how they affect the mental health of those impacted. In this episode, Mansirat will talk about the ongoing farmer protests in India. Hope you enjoy. Thank you, Mansirat, for coming on to the Shameless Podcast today. We are so glad to have you. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thanks for having me. My name is Mansirat and I'm from Chandigarh, India. So today I'm going to talk about the farmers' protest, and we should care about it, not because they feed us or because it's impossible to survive without them feeding the country, but because there are human beings and there have been a total of 55 deaths in this whole situation, and it's not something that is really good. And people are they're committing suicides. And yesterday, in this particular, like in the suicide note, the person wrote that, please just burn my body in this protest ground where they're protesting and not at my home. Like, please do it here. So what can be worse than this? So that is why, like, we all should care.
Thank you so much for sharing about that. And it's something that really needs to be put out there, and the word really should be shared. So thank you so much for doing what you're doing today. So to start off, could you start by introducing the issue at hand and introduce the bills that are related to these protests?
Yes, I'll first explain the prior system of agriculture that was followed in India, like before these bills came into existence. So let's take the example of a state, Punjab. So what happens in Punjab is basically all the farmers are, like, in the whole India, they are small or marginal farmers. So they don't have an adequate system to store their crop. So they sell it as soon as they harvest it. And they can only sell it in APMCs, that is Agriculture Market Produce Committee, or mandis as we call them. So in there, the farmers just have to unload their crop, and there's an auction. But like, there's an MSP, which is the minimum bidding at which this auction starts. So MSP is the minimum support price, and basically it's to safeguard the rights of the farmers, like in terms when the crop isn't doing good, or just in like under any bad circumstances, there's this safeguard that there will be this minimum price that they're gonna get, and then there's gonna be a bidding and auction. Okay, so in return, the farmers pay 8.5% mandi tax. That is, like, because they sell their produce in the mandis, and because they get a MSP there, they give 8.5% tax to the government, out of which 2% is the artiya tax, that is the tax of the middleman. So basically in that auction, the middleman buys this, and then they further sell it to the government, and they get, like, they are basically doing this for commissions, and they get this 3%. And now I'm going to introduce, like, the three bills which were introduced. Okay, so the first one is the Farmers Produce Trade and Commerce Promotion and Facilitation Bill. This bill allows the farmers to sell their produce outside the agriculture market committees. You know, just think about this, that it's a very good thing. The farmers won't have to pay the tax anymore. And all the people who want to contact them instead of these middlemen, because, you know, they are government officials, and any, like, agri-tech companies or just startup companies, they can contact the farmers directly, and the farmers will have a greater choice on who they want to sell, and they can do it according to their will. But what's actually going to happen is the corporates are first going to offer them, like, higher prices compared to the ones they get in the mandis. And then what they're going to do is, like, then the mandis are going to cease to exist because nobody's going to sell their produce in it. And the government won't have to pay the employees or just for maintaining this whole structure and organizing all these events. So basically the government profits here, and the corporates, when the mandis are going to cease to exist, the farmers won't have a second resort. They won't have an alternative. So then the corporates are going to offer them a very less price. and then the second bill, the Farmers Empowerment and Protection Agreement on Price Assurance in Farm Services Bill 2020. This bill makes provisions for setting up of a framework of contract farming. Okay, so what this means is that the farmer and a buyer can strike a deal before this production happens. You know, they can decide everything before, like what pesticides to use, what fertilizers to use, what's the rate that that person is going to buy, and just everything. But what's actually going to happen is that a farmer's, because there's not going to be any mandi, so they don't have anywhere else to go, they'll ultimately have to grow what the buyer asks for. And basically, they'd want commercial crops, mainly in India, substantial crops are grown, that is wheat, rice, paddy, basically what we eat. So that's going to cease to exist. And they're basically going to ask for commercial crops and the rate of these substantial crops, because very less people are going to grow it and it's just going to be the corporates who are selling it. So that's how it's going to affect like the whole country and not just the farmers, because we'll have to buy wheat, rice at a very high price.
So the government are passing these bills saying that it's going to help, and it seems nice on the surface, but in reality, it's doing a lot of harm and it's hurting the farmers and their occupation and their families.
Yes, of course, like they are just a form of art, because when you read them, you're like, this is the best that the government can do. You know, let's take like BJP. Basically, it's the ruling party and they spend a lot of money in their, you know, election campaign. So basically, it's these corporates that fund them. Like now there's like in India, they've started a movement that we should completely ban the use of Jio, which is like Mukesh Ambani and the richest man in India. And he owns this company Jio, and basically they are the ones who fund their election campaign. So the government is introducing these bills so that they gain the maximum profit and then they can further help them in the next election term as well. So this is the reason. And now I'm going to speak about the third bill, which is the Essential Commodities Amendment Bill 2020 deregulates the production, storage, movement and sale of several major foodstuffs, including cereals, pulses, edible oils, onions. What this bill basically means is that the rice and the paddy, basically they won't be essential crops anymore. That is, a particular company can just store a large amount of them. There's going to be a proper storage system, because a lot of wheat is wasted, which is a failure of the government in India, because they don't take proper measures to store them, so that there'll be a proper storage system. But what's actually going to happen is that the corporates are going to hoard the supplies, because they have the adequate facilities to store them. The farmers don't. So they're just going to store it, like, and then they're going to hoard the supplies, and then they're going to sell it at a very high price. Because this is what happens in India. They buy all this produce at a very less rate from the farmers, but they sell it at a very high rate, just because it's, you know, packed and they have this brand symbol over there. The prices are like increased drastically.
It seems like these bills are exploiting the work of the farmers and what they're doing. So how do you think these bills are just affecting the mental health of these farmers? Because they're working so hard and they're doing the best that they can with the little that they're given. So how do you think it's affecting their mental health?
They work their whole life and now their livelihood is snatched away. So basically they have this, how am I going to feed my children? Like, how am I going to sustain? Or like, how can I raise my family without them having to witness all this, that 250 million farmers are protesting just for their rights? So it's like very stressful. They think, like, I think that I won't be like able to do farming on my land, because the corporates are just going to snatch it away or just force me to sell it. So you can say they're practically fighting for their survival. And, you know, just imagine living without your parents and knowing that they're out there in this chill winter and without adequate clothing, because they're sleeping on the roads. The government isn't allowing them to enter Delhi. And there are trucks filled with sand and they're using water cannons and they're using tear gas and, you know, so many more things. And the Delhi police, which is where the protests are happening, India's capital, they've asked for the permission to set up temporary prisons and they've been granted it. And they're just putting these unnecessary unnecessary cases, illegal cases, that there is this case like 26 Indian penal codes code, like 26th. Okay, so what that means, serious, when a person like does serious injury above waist to another person, so then they get this, but they are just putting it unnecessarily, you know, so they have to be in the prison like for attempt to murder, murder, and all these fraudulent cases on the farmers, so that they just, you know, get scared and they move away.
So it seems like this is a very major issue and it's affecting a lot of lives right now. But it also seems like there's not a lot of light being shed on this situation. So do you think you could talk about a little bit about the media and how it's portraying this?
Yes, like if we believe that a media is the fourth pillar of democracy, we are standing on a tripod because they aren't covering it properly at all. The media is just showing the party's version and they're saying that these farmers have gone crazy. They're just wasting their time. They're not doing this, this and that. And they're doing violence and they're relating it with an entirely different concept of Khalistan. I'll explain about it later in the podcast. And so that's just what they're doing. Basically farmers are illiterate, like if we consider it generally, because they don't have the adequate resources to do this. So what the media is doing, they are just grilling them over the technicalities of this bill because nobody has gone and actually explained them. They just know that our rights are going to harm it. This is like the crux of it. They are not sure about the technicalities, because if you ask an economist, they're going to be able to answer all these technicalities, but they don't even know like what agriculture is about. You know what, these Ambani and Adani, like the richest people in India, so they basically own 90% of the news channels. They're like really less news channels and they're really less credible sources you can find about this particular issue. And this is when we need media the most, but they're just not doing anything. They are showing that the farmers are smashing away the barriers and they are creating violence. They are polluting the streets. But what's actually happening is quite the opposite. They were smashing away the barriers to make way for the ambulance because the police has just almost sealed the entry to Delhi. So that's what they were doing. And because they've even organized langars, that is the community kitchens. So what happens there is like there's a free distribution of a square meals. And it's not just for the farmers who are protesting, it's for everybody, like less privileged people or the people who aren't able to make a good living because of the COVID-19 or just because of any circumstances. They're feeding them and there's like this distribution of peanuts, blankets, milk. They're doing like the best they can. At this point, we need the international media to, you know, just take this into consideration, because only then the government is going to do something. And because like India is even a part of this United Nations Security Council, like just like a temporary member, so they don't want like the reputation to be harmed. The government just wants the other people to think that India is a very nice nation and we have all this diversity and all this, and not the real picture. So that is why the international media should at least showcase it, because the national media, we've just lost all our hopes on them. And because in this circumstances, like, I don't want to study in India at all, because I don't know what's going to happen to me next.
It's really disappointing to see how the media has decided to portray what's been going on in India, because human lives are at stake and human rights are at stake. And it's something that's really important. So thank you for being the media that the people over there need and the world needs to hear. And I'm really curious to hear how are you personally related to this issue, and do you have any relations to anyone who is related to these protests?
My father is a farmer and my mother is too. So, and there are like around a dozen of my family members who are protesting. So that's how I'm related to this issue. But, you know, it's not just because I'm related or because I'm a daughter of a farmer, but because they are human beings. Like, as we are, you know, busy celebrating New Year, we are partying. There are like 270 million people who are protesting in this bitter cold, and they're sleeping at this protest site. The government isn't allowing them to enter, and there aren't any hotels or restrooms, or because they can't afford it and because their livelihood is at stake.
Going back to the media part, the situation kind of reminds me of something that happened in South Korea in 1980 called the Gwangju Massacre or Gwangju Uprising. And basically what happened there was a lot of protests against the government, and many people died, but the government censored all media. And so nobody in the world knew what was going on until much later. And I think it's just very disappointing that in this moment of time when there's so much technology and, you know, so much improvements in how media and how information is spread, that things are still being censored. And that's why I'm very glad that you came on our podcast. I think it's very brave and courageous of you to step up here and share this story and, you know, share what's going on around you. So thank you for that. And I also wanted to ask, how are you being personally affected mental health-wise right now?
It's like I just can't focus on the textbook because, you know, like my pre-boards are going on, which is like a big thing in India. But whenever I open my textbook, what comes to my mind, like what's happening in the protest and, you know, just the glimpses of those shaking hands, worried eyes, because basically the old people are participating in the protests comparatively more as compared to like the youth or the younger, like the middle-aged people as well. It's basically the old people. So, you know, it's really difficult for them to live in those conditions, but still they're in like chardi kala, which is an expression which means in high spirits. They're still happy, like they are in pain, but still they aren't showing it. They aren't, you know, saying that the government is doing this and this and that. They're just happy that we are doing our part. I can't go in this protest, but at least I should do what I can. And yeah, that's it.
I remember you shared this poem with us. I was wondering if you could read that for our listeners, because I think that it's really impactful.
Yes. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Away from home, still smiling. Been weeks without family, still smiling. Sleeping on roads in chilly winters, still smiling. Serving meals to those who are there to beat them, still smiling. Fighting for their most fundamental and basic rights in the free country, still smiling. Been growing food for the entire nation and now fighting for their own, still smiling. Every day and every moment is uncertain and unfolds with a new update. Still smiling. Lastly, they are in pain, but still smiling.
That poem is just so impactful. And one of the lines that hit me the most was, been growing food for the entire nation and now fighting for their own and still smiling. It's just, it shows how wrong, like what's been going on is. Like they are what feeds and what keeps the nation alive, yet they have to fight for their own food and their own rights. So this poem really explains like the courage that what the people are going through right now and the bravery that they have and the injustice that's been going on.
I also wanted to add that, like, especially with COVID going on, there must be an added pressure on all these farmers and their children and just the country as a whole. And it is really disappointing, like everyone said, that the government is just thinking about their own interests and not thinking about the people and what they're having to go through, especially in this crazy year. I just wanted to ask, is there something that people internationally, like teens and just other people who want to do something about it, is there something that we can do to help people in India learn more about this?
Yes, sure. And like the first thing, our GDP is -23. You said in like COVID and these difficult times, our GDP is already -23, like the gross domestic produce. And on the top of this, they're introducing these bills. And yes, there's of course, like we should do like the best we can, you know, like we should never forget the change we can bring in this world with our little deeds of care. So what we can do is basically if we can, so we can donate to Khalsa Aid and Sikh Expo. I'll just link them down. And if you know, it will be really great if everyone could send, you know, cards, messages, videos, or just anything, because there are like so many farmers who are protesting in this new year and they spent it like away from their families. And so I think this is what we should do, and you know, just educate other people, raise awareness about this, because we really need the international media to focus about this particular aspect, because the national media, we've lost like all our hopes on them. They've like badly betrayed the farmers, and you know, they've just failed us. So that's what like we as teenagers can do, you know, just send them messages and help raise awareness in our classrooms, homes, societies. And that's how we can make an impact. And I've even started this petition. I'll just link it down. So if you could sign it, like it's on change.org.
We can also link all these petitions and donations in the podcast episode description as well. Is there anything else you would like to share with us or the listeners?
Yes, it's the Khalistani angle. So basically in around 1950s, it was the government of Congress at that time. Like it's BJP now and Congress is in opposition. So it was Congress at that time. And here in India, we had this right to heredity. That is like the land of that particular farmer is going to be distributed equally among his children. Or, you know, they can, send an application to their, local body. And if they want that land to be given to somebody else, like somebody from their family or just anyone, or just if they just want to donate it. But the government introduced this law that the government can snatch away their land at any point of time. And then there was this Khalistan movement. That is, the people demanded, we want a separate state, like a Sikhs. Basically, they're in Punjab and basically they do like farming, like traditionally, but there are many other people as well. So they demanded like for a separate state, just give us a separate state. We didn't want to be in India anymore. You know, it was a result of this suppressed anger, because since independence, the government isn't focusing on the minorities. It's just that unity is diversity. We have this court in India, and it's just for international conferences that they show that we have, you know, a really nice nation and we live, you know, so many people coexist. But the government isn't focusing on the minorities as much, and this situation has worsened in the BJP, because 33% of their votes come from the Hindus, so they've just considered them as their vote bank. And so what they do is they just introduce all these reforms relating to Hindus, and you know, they're basically dividing people on the basis of their religion, and you know, which is promoting this communal violence. But in Khalistan, so this all turned into a bloodbath, because people were demanding a separate state, and the government wasn't ready to give it, because that's where they get their most GDP from. They get it from farming. Like 70% people are employed in farming, and they generate a really large portion of their GDP or their export. So they weren't ready to give it, because India would economically suffer, and just the Khalistan portion is going to prosper. So what they're saying is that these are the Khalistanis, while actually everybody is saying that we aren't gonna do it, because there are many of our people also who suffered in all this movement, because you know, the government sent troops, and we have this golden temple in Amritsar. So that's where, you know, because Maharaja Ranjit Singh Ji, that was like a Gurdwara, a place of worship for the Sikhs or like any people. So what they had done there is that there are four doors, which is for every religion. There's this foundation stone. So he was a Sikh, but he made this foundation stone. Like the person who set this foundation stone was a Muslim, which is basically, you know, to eradicate this Islamophobia, and that like we are all one. We shouldn't be divided on this basis of religion, that this particular community can go to this particular place of worship. It's not like that. And so Maharaja Ranjit Singh Ji, what he did, he, you know, just plated it all with gold. So that whole temple, and it's all plated with gold. So, and then there's where this sort of war took place between the government and between the Sikh troops, because they were demanding a Sikh nation and the government wasn't ready to give it. But here in this scenario, it's like really different, because people are saying that we don't want that anymore, because a lot of people suffered and we just want a peaceful protest, and just let us enter Delhi, because you are starting this by, you know, having these trucks filled with stands, water cannons and all this stuff. And this basically, this is what the media is, portraying all the time. They aren't showing that they're feeding the homeless people and that they're still not, you know, complaining much about it, that they're sleeping on the roads and like what all the government is doing and the way they are treated in a democratic nation. Because, they've won Delhi 13 times. The Sikh troops have won Delhi 13 times. So it's not a big deal for them. They can easily do it. But their people are going to, get killed, and so are the government troops, and they are soldiers and they are a people, like they are the people of our nation. So basically they don't want that to happen, and basically this, they're even feeding the soldiers and the police who are there to beat them in the light of the day, and they are the ones who are having this sealed, and they are beating the people, they are doing lathi charge, which is using sticks to beat the people, but they're still feeding them at the end of the day. So, the media is not at all showing that aspect. And what they're showing is just that they are Khalistanis and they're had to create communal violence and all this.
It seems like the media is just portraying the protesters in such a negative and incorrect way, because these people, they're feeding the soldiers and the people who are showing them violence, but it shows that they're just humans and all they want are their human rights, but the media is just portraying them as not even people. And so people need to not be defined by their religion or where they're from, but just people need to see these protesters as just humans. Like, we're all just humans. Yeah, that is really unfortunate.
Another thing that I'd want to include, that the media recently, they criticized that there was this farmer's kid, and like they can speak English and they are not like these innocent peoples. That's what the headline came on our national news channel, which we considered as credible source. And they had this, that they are eating pizza on the protest, and they are not at all, nobody's that they aren't suffering in this bitter cold, and they're just chilling out there in the protest ground. What never came in the news is that there are 15,091 farmers committed suicide in 2020 alone. Like, they consumed poison, that never came in the news. But what came in the news is that they're eating pizzas, and they didn't include that they had to work their whole lives so that their kids could get in, good education in private schools.
Yeah, the number of suicides in 2020 alone is just devastating. I've also seen this statistic of 20,000 plus farmer suicides between 2018 and 2019. So just looking at those numbers, I can't imagine how hard it is for the farmers and their families right now. And I just hope the best for your family, and I hope that you guys stay safe during these protests, because I'm sure it's very overwhelming right now. And just hearing all the unfair treatment that they're facing, it's really unfortunate.
But still, yeah. They're complaining out about it. They're, set up like so many things. Like, they have got washing machines there, and a lot of people are gonna, just get together, and they're making food for everybody. The protesters or the unprivileged people, they didn't want it after we leave this, after like hopefully we get our demands fulfilled and these bills are revoked, that nobody should feel that we littered the city or we polluted this. They're cleaning it, and they've just formed this sort of community there. They are just sleeping there, and all these blankets, protein shakes, gym equipments, but they are doing their best, and this is what the media is criticizing, that why are they having washing machines there? Because if a person is going to live on the street for 1 month, This is something that they need.
I think that's very similar to how people going through mental illnesses feel. I think like large communities can also feel like how individuals feel when people are going through terrible times, like personally and on the inside. They find support with other people, which they need, you know, they create a community. But then the people on the outside, they tend to criticize them because they don't understand what's actually going on and how they're trying to survive by creating a community and leaning on each other and trying to support each other. And I think that's great that the farmers are trying to band together and create strength together, even though the government is seeing that in the wrong view.
Yes, and because already later, even the prior system of agriculture, it's not something that is beneficial for the farmers, but it's something that just gets them a bare minimum level, like a really less profit. But these bills are going to really worsen the situation. They aren't even going to, like, it's not even going to cover the expenses of the production.
Yeah, and I think that in the future, and even now, people are going to look at the farmers that are protesting and look at them as an example that you can protest and speak your mind, but you can still be peaceful. And hopefully the government can learn from them and really understand that violence isn't always the answer, and that community and caring for each other and treating everyone as an equal human being is more impactful than anything else.
You know, because the government, they've introduced all these different, you know, measures as well, because the farmers are protesting. So basically they have this livestock, you know, they have cows, buffaloes, milk and all this. There's this thing that even if a person owns one cow, that person is going to, like, you know, pay a particular amount of tax, or they're going to get like a separate electricity connection for it, and all these different measures, which is basically, you know, they are just, you know, trying this to resist the farmers, that if you're going to protest for more time, we are going to introduce all this, you know, plus the bills. So they're just, you know, coming up with all these new ways to suppress their voices. And because the media isn't doing anything, that is why, you know, it's our duty, Gen Z's duty, that we participate now more than ever and raise our voices. So, you know, we should, you know, start it by the community level. We can just talk to our friends, our classmates, because I'm pretty sure like half of our, you know, even my class, they aren't, you know, they just know that farmers protest is going on, but nobody's, you know, bothering to learn all these intricacies of the bills and why are the farmers protesting. So they're just saying that nobody's told them to, you know, just protest in this bitter cold. Why are they doing this? This is not the correct method. The government isn't going to listen to them and all this. So I think that basically we should take it upon ourselves to at least educate them about what this bill is really about, because so many lives are at stake.
Yeah, and I completely agree with everything you just said. And we, as Gen Z, have a big responsibility to spread the word and stay educated on this topic. And you've definitely educated all of us, and we learned so much about the injustice that's been going on in India and with the farmers protesting. Your point of view, having your parents both being farmers and living in India, is such an important point of view. And I think that all of our listeners will be able to learn so much from everything that you've said and your experiences.
Okay, so now I'd even like to highlight the role of the women in this protest. So what they're basically doing is they're saying that it's really, you know, it's like equally affecting for both men and women, because they both have to feed their children, they both have to sustain. So, right. So what they're doing is, so basically it's, you know, the old-aged men or the youth, but now women are even participating. So what they're doing is they are staying at home to look after their children. And what they're doing is, you know, in the evening, after they're done with all their household chores, they go to the near polls, you know, toll plazas, that is, you know, on the tax you paid for going on a good road, which is without all these, you know, holes and all this. So, so they're participating there in the protests, and they're participating, like, you know, banning these geophones, because that's, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to be beneficial for the government's, you know, the people who are going to basically give them the funds next time to contest the elections and then use all these unfair means to win it. And now many female singers, because basically singers have a large influence on the youth, they've participated really widely in the protest. They're going there and protesting, and they've got like 15 songs which are related to the protest, that you know, just to encourage the spirits of the farmers, just to heighten them.
With the women and their role in this protest, it just shows that the whole community is coming together to support these farmers, and they're doing the best that they can. And in order to keep the people who are supporting the protesters, keep their morale and their support up too. Like from us, since we're not from India, we can show our support and we'll do the best we can to try to support them, to, you know, let the farmers and let the people who are supporting the farmers know that it's not just people in India that are supporting them. It's the people from all over the world are cheering them on and will have their back.
So yes, and even here in Chandigarh, like we, a group of teenagers, what we did is, like, you know, we just stood on this roundabout and we had these boards in our hands that please honk if you support the farmers, to just show the farmers everybody cares about them. So I think they really need to feel appreciated, because, you know, it's so lonely out there, and how they're managing to do all their, you know, daily activities, practices, you know, how they're maintaining their hygiene. So I think that it's really important, like, if we just, you know, just make them feel loved. It's, why is just the Punjabi farmers, like the people from Punjab, which is an Indian state, why are they alone protesting? And because Punjab was the basically the first one to initiate this Khalsa, Khalistan movement. So what they're saying is, why are they just doing it? So it's not that they aren't doing it alone. Like, everybody, we as a community are going to win this battle, and we are going to help the farmers succeed, because they are the citizens of this nation.
Yeah, that's definitely a great message to send. And I think you guys were talking about this earlier, but like how Gen Z, we are a critical part of raising awareness because we have such access to online platforms. And I definitely think that our voices, and especially you, Mansira, your voice, and a lot of people that are talking about this issue, is definitely going to help raise awareness. And we're so thankful for you for coming on today, like we said before. And yeah, thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, we're so extremely grateful and just proud of you for just having the courage to be the voice for these minorities and these farmers in India.
I just want to quickly add that I am also really proud of you. I'm so glad that you could bring light to a huge event that unfortunately the media is not showing, so that the whole world is not hearing enough about. And I also really loved how you kept on highlighting that we should all do the best we can to support these farmers, because although we internationally can't personally physically help, we will do the best we can as individuals to support everyone in this world who is a human being and deserves as much as anyone else does.
I agree. And I also want to thank you for being so passionate about this issue, because it's people like you who want to make a change that make tomorrow a better life for everyone in your community. And you're doing so much for everyone, and I think that, like Hania, Abby, and Dylan said, that, you know, we'll do our best that we can, and you must be going through your own struggles as well because of this issue at hand. And so always know that we'll be here for you as a team, and if you ever have your own struggles, we'll be here for you and always be willing to listen. And again, thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's, you know, so nice to hear.
I think it's so amazing what you're doing, and I want to thank you for being so courageous and brave and speaking out about this topic when so many people should be, but they're not. And I think it was really just enlightening talking to you and learning about your perspective.
It was, you know, really amazing recording with you guys. So yeah, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to our first episode of the Shameless Activism series, where Mansira was able to speak out for the farmers and their families who are currently fighting for justice at the protests in India. If you'd like to support these protests, please sign Mansira's petition in the podcast description. Additionally, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to stay tuned for more activism-related episodes to come. You can keep up with us on our Instagram at shameless.org.us. Thanks again, and see you soon.